All right. Well, without further ado, let's bring Brad Galvin on and let's have a conversation with Brad. Hey, Brad, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. So for anybody that may not know who you are, maybe tell us what your day job is and maybe some of the people that you work with.
Okay. When I had a day job, like all of us, it was
fair enough.
For the last few years, it's been, well, 7 years. Ultimately, it's been working with a band called the Lumineers. So I've been their monitor engineer since 2013. I've also, in between tours, I've done other bands. I did Weird Al Yankovic for quite a while. I toured with him. That was my first tour. And then I did some tech work with Dave Matthews Band and did Ringo Starr and the All-Star Band last, or 2 years ago now, and Taj Mahal and Keb Mo and Steely Dan for a little bit as well.
Oh, very fun. Okay, so seeing as how essentially the entertainment industry has been shut down by what's gone on, our biggest conversation piece tonight is for everybody that has been affected, how to make the most of the season, how to thrive, not just survive. What are some of the things that you're doing to kind of make the most of the time? Obviously, you're usually on the road. I don't know. Yeah. What are some thoughts?
You know, I spend most of my time, truthfully, kind of, A, just getting back in touch with being at home. That's okay. Part of it. And then on top of that, there's a lot of webinars. A lot of people are kind of making good use of the time, and I'm kind of taking advantage of that, of just webinars, learning, of people teaching stuff. I've done a lot that I've watched a lot that I already know a lot of information about them.
Yeah.
But you know, it never hurts as a refresher or just to learn. Every once in a while you pick up something new, and I've been able to do that. I've been really lucky.
Any of the ones you've been watching that you would recommend of like, hey, these would be really good to take some golden nuggets out of?
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of, there's a website called practicalshowtech.com.
Okay.
A guy, it's a few people, one of which is a guy named Kelly Upperson, who I know is a corporate guy. And Matt Kerr, some old corporate guy, and Peter Erskine, who's a big corporate kind of comms and RF guy. Pete does some touring too, but I've done a lot of the RF stuff, kind of coordination and just working. You know, yesterday there was one about RF over fiber, so I was watching that and kind of learning that.
Okay.
And it also dealt with like antenna design and kind of ultimately full on RF design stuff, which I really like. I do a lot of RF. My RF setup on the Lumineers is pretty intense.
Yeah.
And I kind of manage that all myself just because it's how I prefer to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's a front of house guy named Pooch. I don't know. A lot of guys know him. Ken Van Druten. He does, when I met him, he was doing Linkin Park. He's out or was out getting ready to do Iron Maiden's latest tour again. And he's been putting a lot of stuff up on his Instagram, but on his YouTube channel ultimately, but he talks about on his Instagram and everything. And those are fantastic. I mean, I learned, picked up some tricks, just kind of parallel compression stuff. You know, the way I did it, I was getting results, but it wasn't what I was really looking for.
Yeah.
And I picked up some tricks and how he's doing it. And I actually bought a couple plugins yesterday to just kind of mimic some of what he's doing. Cause I like the way it sounds, the way he does it. And honestly, if it's good enough for Pooch, it's probably more than good enough for me.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. So a question I would have is, at least for the audio audience, what is your preferred mixing desk, just so we can get some people to really like you and some to really dislike you? And and any preferences that you have that, because I mean, I've seen your setup, but for those that haven't actually seen, you have a very well thought out setup that was designed by, I don't remember the company out in San Diego.
Sound Image.
Yeah, Sound Image. But I mean, it's quite impressive and very innovative, like you even talked about with the RF. So maybe talk a bit about preferred mixing desk and then what about the Lumineer setup that's kind of unique to you.
Okay. So my console of choice now and probably for the last 4 to 5 years has been an SD5 Digico. Everything about their platform works really well for me. It's intuitive. It makes sense to me. It allows me to do anything I want to do and put anything where I want to put it. That being said, honestly, my favorite one to mix on is the one that someone's paying me to mix on, honestly. But when I get a choice, it's always, in the last 5 years, has been the Digico SD5s.
Yeah.
I used a PM10 or a PM7 on Ringo, and it was great.
Okay.
I actually debated moving the Lumineers to it, but it's just, I had them set up side by side and mixed tracks on both, and the SD5 allowed me to get to where I needed to be quicker.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Why I stayed with that again.
Okay.
As far as the gear goes, yeah, the Lumineers thing is pretty awesome. Josh, my front of house guy, and I—we kind of went in depth and did a lot of stuff on that one. I typically design everything on the stage end and how I want it all to go together because I'm the one that has to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know, when we do big festivals, Josh is, you know, having to deal with getting his gear back from the front of house position and such. And I don't have to do that. Mine's all on stage. So while he's dealing with that, I got to deal with everything on stage. So I pretty much design all that. As far as how I did it, I can kind of explain how I would try it or how I did it best I can.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
Basically, it's all very modular. We have a big double wide 26 space rack that's got all our stage racks, and we've got, I have 112 inputs worth of racks. I've got two full SD racks. Josh has an Avid, the Stage 64 and a Stage 32. So he's hitting 96 inputs. All the splitters are on the back. So all we take in really is 5W, or no, I think it's 9W1s now, which is just a 12-channel subsnake.
Yeah.
From a multi. And then everything splits off from there. Then underneath my console, I typically have a sled, which is a double wide 12 or 14 space rack. Then on one side is all my microphones. And on the other side is all my transmitters. So I switched all my in-ear transmitters since I saw you. Now I'm using all WYSICOM in-ears, which I can't tell you how happy I am with them.
Okay.
Honestly, they sound amazing. I swapped them all out, and we did a sound check before we did a festival in January. And everybody, from the techs to production to the band, everyone said, "What did you do to this?"
Mm.
And all I could say was absolutely nothing. All we did was swap out the packs and the transmitters. This is exactly the mix we've had. It just sounds better.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a low mid clarity thing and low frequency clarity in those ears that it's just, it's unreal. They sound like a hardwired pack, truthfully.
Oh, very nice. Very good.
Yeah. So then the other bit, that the kind of the cooler bit, that stuff's all really well and good. All our wireless is Axiom Digital. But so the cooler bit is the fact that, again, it's all modular. So we used to have a B stage. So I actually have a WYSICOM RF over fiber unit that sends fiber out to the B stage. And on the B stage, I would have two receive antennas. Then I have another amplifier that would actually reamplify all my transmits. So I would have an antenna. I would have three antennas on the B stage. So wherever they were at, we had full wireless coverage for everything. It was fantastic. And then when we went to the arenas from January through March until when we subsequently canceled the last couple or postponed the last two dates, we actually kind of reutilized it and redesigned it, or I did, so that basically the fiber link then sent my signal out to me because I was nowhere near the stage. I actually would mix. Oftentimes I was in loading docks. I saw them via a video monitor, and the fiber link was great. It allowed me to just sit there and have full coverage of my QPAC and all their mixes. And yet when I had to go walk out there, I would just walk out the VOM, wherever that was, and go do my walks and all that kind of stuff. It was great.
Oh, very good. Okay, so obviously you touched upon a bit about the fact that, like, obviously you've had gigs postponed, canceled, different things. Yeah. When do you, in the foreseeable future, have your next upcoming gig or work, work option? But then from that, my question would be, just the human emotion range of, like, how did you feel going into, like, all of this stuff starting to get canceled, and then kind of where are you at now even then?
So I remember in February when everything kind of went down, when, like, things started to happen, we saw it on the international front, kind of everything happening, and then there's slowly some stuff was trickling to Europe and then coming to the States. We'd listen to it, and I didn't really think it was going to affect me much.
Mm.
So I was okay, and it was just life as normal. You know, you worried about the other countries. Obviously, we'd been to Italy. We had shows scheduled in Italy in June and everything like that, as well as other parts of Europe.
Yeah.
And then March came along, got a little more serious. Then I had a really big corporate event that I normally will have done back in 2018, I did it. And that was supposed to be 17 days in January, or I'm sorry, April.
Hmm.
And I was going to go straight from our South American dates to that.
Okay.
And all of a sudden I got really worried about it. I hadn't heard much about it, and it was getting close.
Yeah.
So I sent some emails out, and all of a sudden I found out that was canceled.
Oh, wow.
And it was a new venue. That was in Montreal.
Okay.
So that was maybe a couple weeks or maybe a week and a half before we finally postponed the last two dates. So that's when it kind of got serious for me. And I started talking to my production manager in Lumineers, just saying, do we know what's going on? Like, what's our plan? And she said, at this point, we don't know. Everything's really fluid. Mm. She's really good. She knows I work a lot. So she pretty much keeps me abreast of all the things going on. And at that time, we were still looking to keep chugging away. You know, we were still planning to go to South America. We already had all our flights and everything like that.
Okay.
So we kept going, and, you know, you just, again, kind of saw it coming in and getting closer and closer. And then it was in the States. Mm. Like it's everywhere, you know. And by that time, we had been in all the places that it got hit hard. We'd already been in New York City for 4 days. We'd been in Toronto, where they got hit, not hard, I don't think, but a decent amount, you know.
Yeah.
And we've been through all those places. So it's like, okay, we're just going to keep going. Not to mention, I mean, you know how arena tours are. You always have a bunch of hands.
Yeah.
So you're in and around people all the time.
Yeah.
Luckily for me, again, I was in loading dock. So I was actually not near very many people, which was nice.
Okay.
But so fast forward another week, and all of a sudden we hit Milwaukee.
Mm.
And we were doing it. Luckily I live about 60 miles south of there, and did the show, and it kept getting worse. My singer, there was a song he used to go out in the audience with.
Okay.
And would run all the way to the back of the house, which you saw when you
were there. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And then he'd come back and do his thing. And
yeah.
So he stopped doing that maybe a week and a half prior.
Okay.
So he now was all on the stage, which was weird. And they don't, you know, Wes really likes to get in touch with the people and go out there, and he just stopped doing it. So we kept going. And then again, it just kept getting worse. And then all of a sudden after the Milwaukee show, we had just finished. I took my ears out. And all of a sudden, I got to call everybody to go to the catering room. And so that was it. The decision was made. We were all going home that night. There was, I mean, my production staff was amazing. You know, Tessa, who is our production coordinator, she had lined up a couple of buses. Were going straight from there to Montreal. One was going to Nashville. You know, there was a bunch of people going still to Minneapolis, where our next show was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I just hopped an Uber. I was supposed to go on a bus, but I didn't wait 3 more hours. So I just got an Uber and went home.
Okay.
But yeah, so we were supposed to have the South American dates. Those got postponed.
Okay.
Till later in the year. And then we were supposed to do 2 festivals in April at the end of the month, Beale Street and New Orleans Jazz Fest. Those, I believe, both got postponed till later in the year.
Okay.
And then, so as it stands right now, our next gigs are early May, I believe. I haven't heard anything about those. I mean, my personal assumption is, given the way things are going, those are going to get adjusted.
Yep.
But, you know, I don't know. I don't have any official word on it, but that'd be my guess.
Yeah. And then kind of, I don't know, how did you feel once all of these cancellations or postponements start coming? And then where are you at now with it?
I was really worried when the McDonald's thing canceled, because that's a really, really lucrative gig.
Yeah.
I wasn't upset, because it was, I was more concerned because I knew it was more indicative of what was going to happen.
Okay.
And I was also upset because I had a lot of really good friends, and it's that particular show happens every other year.
Yeah.
And that group of people and I we still have a text thread going of just like funny things we talk about from the last time we did it.
Okay.
So I was really bummed when that fell through.
Yeah.
The Lumineer stuff, I was really sad about. We were all kind of ready to go home because we've been out there for 9 weeks, I think, by that time.
Okay.
And we only had 2 shows left. So it was sad. And then it was just weird to go home and all of a sudden be home.
Okay.
And I wasn't expecting to be there. You know, it was just, I expected to be out touring still or doing something.
Yeah.
So it was, the next day was kind of a weird thing. And I remember a lot of text messages between friends and I just saying, this is weird. Like, this is not. This isn't good.
Yeah. You
know, this isn't fun. We don't want to be here right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was hard, but it's taken a while. There's still days I have where I get kind of down.
Yeah.
But my guitar tech and I, Sean, we go out and he buys a ton of records. I bought a number of records.
Okay.
So I kind of just spend the time listening to records now at home. And like I said, trying to catch up on some webinars and reading a book I've been trying to read for the last year.
Okay. It's
apparently impossible for me. But no, I feel okay now. I can't. It concerns me because I literally have my guys are look good. They're taking care of us a little bit. But you know, after early May, I don't know when my next paycheck's going to come.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, early April. So okay. I really don't know. And it's a matter of, I only have enough money in the bank to cover X amount of months.
Yeah.
And we'll see. So it's, that part's a bit stressful, but I've never actually been this okay with that.
Okay.
And it's only because the realistic situation is everybody in the world's going through the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not just me. And so everybody's government's going to have to figure out how they're going to deal with this. And
yeah,
I think you guys are a little luckier. Yours is taking care of you guys a lot better than ours is.
Yeah.
As is Canada and many other countries. Ours is kind of weirder to deal with, but
okay.
You know, in the meantime, I'll just sit here and try to learn as much as I can, become a better RF guy, which I hope to be, and hopefully a better monitor guy or engineer in general, and
yeah,
go from there.
That's good advice. All right. Well, thanks, man. Thanks for calling in. Good chatting with you, and good see you again.
You too.
I know we'll talk again, but thanks for, thanks for calling in. All right. Next, we have up Stephen Pippett. Stephen Pippett is a part of our Hillsong family on the global side. He is based down in Australia. Hey, Pip, how are you? Good to see you.
Very good. How's it going?
Yeah, good. So it's actually Wednesday morning for Pippett. It's always the annoying dad joke text that he gets from me of what's my tomorrow looking like whenever it's our morning. But I guess on your side, just on the being a part of obviously the Hillsong family, I don't know, how are you guys doing down in Australia? How are you doing, family, all of that?
Yeah, so it's good. We are locked down, similar to what you guys are as well.
Okay.
But we're thriving essentially.
Yeah.
We've got services there. So we're allowed to go into our epicenter in Sydney.
Okay.
And record some services for church on the weekends and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But other than that, essential, non-essential travel is all off the cards.
Okay.
So that means all the touring's out. And yeah, you can go to the grocery store and that's pretty much it.
Okay. And because you're, I mean, I actually don't know what all of your roles are because you kind of do a bunch of different things. But one of your main roles is you take care of the United Tour, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure I'm not
incorrect. So I look after all of production for all of touring for the three brands, Young and Free, Hillsong United, and Hillsong Worship.
Yeah. So then how is the fact of, like, obviously, like you said, there's no traveling, there's no anything. How has that kind of affected just the church tours, as well as has that then shifted focus of doing a lot more like online type stuff now?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that we've had to do in Sydney is do a bit of scramble. So we've had staff reallocate to different areas and all that sort of stuff. So we've had, we were supposed to be leaving for Hillsong Worship Tour.
Okay.
It was basically 2 months on the road. And we're supposed to leave in about 3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
So that's obviously been postponed to August.
Okay.
And they've dropped a couple of shows and just tightened it up and done it in one leg rather than two.
Okay.
So we've had that postpone. There's been some Young and Free events tour that has postponed two of those.
Okay.
So that was events that were supposed to happen in June.
Okay.
So that's been postponed along.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, it's been eerily quiet on the touring front, which is really sad.
Yeah.
But again, like that's now we get to spend time at home. We get reallocated to different things. It's been interesting homeschooling. So obviously all the the schools, whilst they're still open, only for essential care workers, like frontline health workers and stuff like that. So we've got the kids at home. So I've been spending a little bit of time trying to teach them.
Yeah.
Trying.
Are they used to you being home? Because I just realized, obviously, you're now, and I guess my next question is, do you also still, is it like where they call you the sleep camel, where you like sleep the odd hours? Do you still do this currently, or are you back to just being like normal human process?
It kind of like normal is nice. So waking up at 4:30 this morning was out of my normal routine.
Okay.
But that is my normal routine when we're getting ready for a tour. So
yeah.
My schedule is kind of whack.
Yeah. Okay.
But I do like to sleep a lot on days off on the road.
Very good.
I store it up my back and then I can hit it.
Okay, so one of the things we're not going to do that I was going to do tonight is because Alex Strachan from iMag is later on, and I was going to jokingly have you both on and do like couples therapy from the My Strip year. Because I think he still has flashbacks. So I was going to like bring you both back together and just show.
Would have been great.
Like I told you, I always hear all these stories about like how like hard you are to work with. And I'm like, he's always been the most kindest, funnest person ever I've ever met. So I don't, I want to see this other side of you. I just was afraid of what Alex would do to me because, you know, he lives here with me that I figured he would track me down post this.
I like attention to detail. I like things that are nice.
Fair
enough.
That's
all I'm going to say.
Yeah, fair enough. I can dig it. My other question is kind of what are you doing during this season? Because, I mean, I know you're jumping in on church stuff, so you might be busy with a lot of just kind of making church happen. But, like, what are you doing to make the most of this, both you and Lucille and everybody just kind of on your end?
Yeah, so I think obviously we're recalibrating the way we do life together.
Yeah.
Usually over a 12-month period, I'm usually away. Or last year, I was away just under 6 months.
Wow.
So it's quite a shift for me to be home more than a few weeks at a time, sort of thing. So that's been good and also challenging, but also good.
Okay.
And so just getting used to that. But I think like with church, I've just jumped in and gone back to my roots. So my roots are a video person.
Yeah.
So I'm just helping out now with Sebastian Heck and all those sorts of guys and just, you know, teching and doing things and all that sort of stuff. Then we also do, obviously, we've got some shoots that we've been on and stuff like that. So,
oh, good.
We've found like a lot of people in this season have gone back to what they used to do essentially before they became management.
Okay.
So, it's been really interesting.
That's fun.
But it's fun.
Because
like a lot of the guys like emerging technologies. A lot of the guys are starting to get all trained up and do courses on like IP, video and audio over IP.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I think that's one of the next big things for us, especially at the Hills campus and some of our other locations as well.
Yeah.
Is just upskilling. So using this time to upskill.
Yeah.
So they do upskilling. They also spend a lot of this time in a team. So our frontline guys are calling people. We had a record the other day. One of our guys rang 140 people in a day.
Oh my word.
So
wow.
Maybe it wasn't a day. I'm not sure. But it was 140 people.
I was going to say, I'm going to do the quick math. He talked to everybody for 15 seconds.
Maybe that's a really short call. How's it going? Okay, bye. Next.
Still there? Good.
So, yeah, it's a lot of that.
Okay.
A lot of pastoral care because same thing with you guys. A lot of our people are out of work.
Yeah.
So the struggle is real.
Yeah.
So it's getting in their worlds, making sure that they're okay if they need anything, praying with them.
Good.
A lot of the guys are doing that as well.
Ah, perfect.
So we want to basically come out of this the other side stronger than when we went into it.
Yeah.
So
good.
We want better team community, team morale.
Yeah.
So I think that's quite important. So we're trying to work on that.
Okay.
In the meantime. Upskill, so upskilling all the staff, courses, that sort of thing. But like, to be honest, I'm really excited for the other side because I can see like exponential growth for the church once we're allowed to gather again.
Yeah.
And I think the church is still it's tracking strong.
Yeah.
Through online church services and stuff like that. So. Yeah, I just think it's unprecedented days, but it's exciting days for the church.
Yeah, good. All right. Well, thanks for calling in, man. It's good to see you. I really appreciate you doing the odd hours and all that stuff. So enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I'll let you know how it goes.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. See ya. All right. And then next, we were going to have Lee Fields from the MixU world join our call, but he had a last minute thing come up. So instead, he asked if Jeff Sandstrom would join us from the MixU world. So when you can't get Lee, I'm not saying Jeff is the backup. You're not a backup. Equal partners. So we're just happy to have you. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. And I'll defer to Lee on most things, but for this, I'm excited to be here because this is a great conversation and I've already been encouraged by Brad and Steven. So thank you so much for having me.
Ah, good. Yeah, very good. Okay, so where do you find yourself? Where are you located? Just for people that may not know.
Sure. So my family and I moved to Greenville, South Carolina about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
We had been in Atlanta for our whole marriage. So I had lived in Atlanta myself for 25 years before moving to South Carolina. So we have some family here. So we decided a couple of years ago to converge on family and slow down the pace a little bit of what Atlanta had become for us. And so far it's been great. So instead of flying from Atlanta, now I fly through Atlanta. So
okay.
It's a lot of it's the same.
Yeah. Good. All right. Well, now where have you, cause kind of when all of this kind of, you know, when the coronavirus situation happened, where did that kind of put you out of like with work and travel and all of that?
Yeah. So coming into the end of 2019, I had been, I spent most of 2019 on the road mixing for Lauren Daigle.
Oh, okay.
And coming into the end of last year, had decided to not continue into 2020.
Yeah.
Her schedule was just going to be so busy that it was going to be impossible for me to try to keep up with MXU obligations and family stuff and other things that I'm trying to do. So I had already kind of handed over the keys to the new guy. So in terms of day-to-day touring, my world wasn't impacted very much. But Lee and I hosted our most recent MXU live event. In January, the day before the NAMM show in Anaheim, and had planned on having an event next week in Nashville and then next month in Chicago. And those two events have been postponed. So just trying to manage the just the stress of deciding what to do for those events and how to manage. We were also supposed to be in Germany for the Pro Sound and Light convention and to be a part of the D&B Worldwide Partner Meeting.
Oh, cool.
At D&B headquarters, we were going to get a tour of the factory at D&B and meet with their team because they're one of the primary sponsors for our live events. And
yeah.
So we were excited to do that. So as things started sort of canceling, there was this domino effect where all of the things that we had planned on doing, it's like, okay, well, that's not happening. Oh, well, there goes Germany. Okay, well, there goes Chicago.
And
so now it's like planning, okay, how far out do we need to plan to reschedule things so that we can be safe? You know, is August okay? Is September okay? You know, tours, you know, I know Lauren's tour, when they rescheduled, you know, they had all these spring dates. They were on, I think, night 4 or 5 of the tour when they had to cancel the remaining dates for the spring, and they're postponed until October and forward. So it's, man, after having spent so many years on the road with Chris Tomlin and Passion Conferences and, you know, Lauren and Stephen Curtis Chapman and others, it's, you know, I totally feel the pain of people who survive by touring and event world, because, you know, that's the untold people who've messaged or texted or called and said, I just lost $30,000 of income and I don't know what to do, you know, and it's, you know, it's really stressful for a lot of people in a lot of ways.
So
we're trying to find ways to encourage people in the midst of this and, you know, rally together as kind of a common sort of band of brothers and sisters to not only sort of make ourselves okay, but make each other feel like that we're not in this alone and that we can kind of band together and partner in, like Stephen and Brad were saying, hey, how do we up our skills so that when we're through all of this and the dust has settled, that we're actually better, not only as technicians and engineers and all that, but how can we be better husbands and dads and brothers and sisters and come through this as better people? So
that
as we gather together as teams after all this is done, you know, maybe we can figure out ways to serve each other better than we had before.
And,
you know, be more excellent, not only be more excellent at what we do, but also kind of be better humans as part of the process.
So yeah.
That's a lofty goal, but hopefully that's where we all end up.
Yeah. Well, and because, I mean, when we were talking earlier, I already forewarned Jeff and I had told Lee, I am going to give them my own shameless plug of MixU for the fact that they don't want me to. So even more so, I want to. But I mean, this is the most ideal time to, like everybody's been talking about, upskill. And your audio training that you're doing, you said you're also now working in some lighting for video and you're working in some video elements as well. But even on the website, you do have things that would encourage people, discipleship, that kind of thing. So, I mean, they wouldn't want me to do this, but even more so, I want to do it. It's a great product to check out. If you are home, maybe instead of doing Netflix, just check out their website. Look at their Instagram or the website that they have. They have lots of free content on there that you can check out and videos. But I know these guys of, like, their heart is just to upskill and train people, and it's a resource that you would definitely want to take advantage of. But that's the thing that I do like, that you do even include in there, just the, not just audio, but just leadership and life and discipleship and different things. And
thank you. That's a big passion of mine personally.
Yeah.
You know, trying to, especially, you know, if you're the leader of a production team.
Yeah.
I think there's a gap sometimes between sort of how do we, especially if you're, you know, just personality wise, we tend to be kind of nerdy introverts.
Mm.
And so if we're not people and, you know, outgoing and going to check in, and like Stephen said, very, very few people are going to make 144 calls a day to check in on their team.
Yeah.
So, you know, how do you challenge yourself to not just be a better technician, but to be a better leader?
Yeah.
Because we're all in charge of leading something. And so for the people over which we have influence, how can we empower those leaders to not only do better training, but to also just, you know, encourage people in a different way and make sure people understand the why behind what we do. And, you know, the fact that, you know, this is not just a technical role, but especially for those of us who work in churches, you know, we're partnering with the people on stage to help them lead worship.
Yeah.
And even in a secular tour environment, it's like, well, we're partnering with our artist to help facilitate what they're trying to communicate from the stage. And
so
if we don't have a bridge built in between the booth and the stage, it's going to be hard for us to understand where they're coming from. And how do we as technicians communicate with artists? Because sometimes that's a really confusing language. And so things like that are kind of what we're focusing on as well. But in the short term, in this kind of in-between time, we really are trying to add additional content to help people get a better broadcast mix.
Yeah, good.
For people who haven't done streaming before, what's the minimum you need to get up and running on a live stream?
Yeah, good.
How can you create content for your own team that is maybe better? Because I think, you know, Stephen alluded to it a minute ago. I think when we come out of this, especially in church production, I feel like back to normal is never going to be what it used to be.
Yeah.
I think the church in some ways, especially in smaller to mid-sized churches, I think the church tended to lag behind the rest of culture in terms of short consumable content and, you know, snippet type stuff that people are just gobbling up now.
Yeah.
So as churches pivot and figure out how can I present our service maybe in a different way than just a 70-minute stream of what we do live. You know, if we're trying to be more engaging during the week and we're trying to help people with content that can meet them where they are on a Thursday, some of that's not going to go away.
Yeah.
And so as we sort of discover some of these best practices, my hope is that coming out of this COVID-19 crisis, that people will be more engaged and more impacted and have content that's more helpful and more relevant as we move forward. And so I agree with Stephen. I think we've got great things coming. Even if it's a few months away, I think it's going to be awesome to look back and see, gosh, as hard as this was, and yes, the lives that were lost and the people that were ill, that is a horrible thing for the world. But the impact that we have potentially coming out of this can be exponentially stronger.
Yeah, so, great.
That's my prayer and my hope.
So. Yeah, very good. All right, I'm going to end on a technical question like I asked Brad.
Okay.
Preferred mixing desk, preferred process. I don't know. What's your tech tools that you like?
Yeah. So we, for the last few years of touring, I had switched to Digico starting in about 2013 on the Tomlin tours. And at that time we had an SD5 at monitors and an SD10 at front of house.
Okay.
And that setup was great. I really got to know and got to really love the Digico platform. Since then, I've mixed on SD12 a lot, SD5 as well. At North Point Community Church, where I was plugged in when we were in Atlanta, they had just upgraded from kind of profile consoles, Avid profiles that had aged out into SD5. And so that transition at North Point was great to be a part of. So I really love the Digico ecosystem.
Yeah.
And then at our MXU live events and on some of our videos, I'm actually mixing on the Waves LV1 mixer.
Okay.
Which is, for those of you who don't know, it's a touchscreen based, plug-in based 64 channel mixer that is awesome. I really like it. And, you know, most people know me as a Waves guy, so that's not hard to to imagine. But as a mixer, I think it's a really intuitive workflow, and I love the control surface, and I think it's really fun. So one of the things I'm doing actually during this downtime is just playing tracks through it and just trying to make sure that my skill is sharp. So how can I get better as a mixer? How can I try a new plugin? How can I maybe look at somebody else's video of their workflow and go, oh, that's interesting. Let me try to see if I can get results that way too. And, you know, I might throw it away, but I might adopt it because I think we all have a great opportunity to learn from each other in a big way during the season.
Yeah, very good. All right. Well, thanks, Jeff. Thanks for taking the time. Good to see you. And
it's my pleasure.
Yeah. Look forward to talking to you again soon. All right. Next we have Alex Strachan. He'll correct me. It doesn't matter. He's with IMAG, the LED provider that we use for our large events and for Sundays and everything else. Alex, I love the color ambience behind you. I feel like Callum may have come over, or Andy Bacon, one of them came over and helped you.
I was hoping that. But I had to do it myself.
Good to see you. I did joke with Pippet how I was going to make him come on with you and do couples therapy, but just figured you live here. You can find me and track me down and hurt me. So I
know where you live.
Exactly. So how are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm all right. Thank you. It's a bit weird. It's a bit different.
Yeah.
But trying to make the most of this downtime that I think we're all facing.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah. On your end, I was kind of curious of looking at the perspective, because a lot of our team would be the freelancers that, would be getting calls from you. So I was kind of curious if we could look at this from your perspective of the business owner and how this actually, all of this may have affected you as a business owner, and then how you kind of dealt with the emotions with that along the way. I'm only asking that because we do know Charlie doesn't deal well with her emotions. I assume she's probably watching, so she's having a good laugh and scowling at me at the same time. But I don't know, kind of where you're at on kind of as a business owner's perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I think for us, I mean, I this was all kind of, didn't really think too much of it at the start. I mean, we started seeing maybe like one or two events cancel mid-February, thinking, oh, that's a bit rubbish, but we'll be fine, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then this whole thing hit pretty hard, actually, when we were out doing some bits at Geneva Motor Show. And I went out myself, and we built this stand, spent a long time. It was for Bentley, so it was quite a prestigious client. So we kind of spent a lot of time with it. And literally the day we just completed it and were waiting for the concept car to come on the set, we started hearing rumors, and this was just rumors that were starting to come in kind of on Twitter and that sort of thing, of that Geneva Motor Show was potentially going to be cancelled. And then the official news did come out. So a day that was meant to be a pretty cool day by all our hard work, kind of being rewarded with this amazing concept car being put in the front of it, actually ended up turning into a derig day.
Okay.
Definitely not what we were expecting. And then I think it's kind of just tumbled on from there and starting to see more and more cancel, to the point where I think we got to maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, we could pretty much just write everything off in the calendar for, well, don't know how long, but at least the next couple of kind of 2-3 months. So for a business that obviously needs income and cash and liquidity to survive, but then looking at the prospect of pretty much zero coming in for the next few months, it's kind of then thinking of, okay, what challenges is this going to bring? And I think we need cash to survive, and we get cash by doing events and getting income, and then suddenly seeing that that's not going to be there anymore, you kind of then start, I guess, a lot of firefighting and prioritizing that firefighting to ensure that things are taken care of. And there's been some pretty good kind of support, as in verbal kind of things that the government have been saying and that sort of thing. Whether the reality of that will actually happen, we're all, I think everyone's in the same boat, we're all yet to kind of really find out. So until that happens, it's sort of, what can we do to make sure we can, well, keep the business going?
Yeah.
What can we do? We obviously have a lot of bills to pay. We have staff, we have a great team, but they all have to be paid. Mm. We owe the banks money. We kind of have all the, we have asset finance and that sort of thing. So, and of course suppliers. So there's people sort of, we have to keep money going out to make sure that they're still going to kind of let us survive in the next sort of 2 to 3 months to be able to come out the other side of this and keep trading. So a lot of time spent with cash flows and different variations of what it could look like, kind of based on this all being a bit of an unknown.
Yeah.
So yeah, just a lot of time in the background, just looking at different options, seeing where we can maybe kind of take some payment holidays with the banks, and looking at the government scheme for the staff, which I'm pretty happy that we haven't had to make any redundancies or anything like that, which has been awesome. So,
oh, great.
A lot of positives. It started off, to be honest, pretty depressing with kind of the outlook that it could be. But as the days and weeks have gone by, it's then starting to look at the situation in a much more light and making the most of this downtime, and everyone's in the same boat. I think, I mean, the events industry was obviously hit quite early on, but everyone in the country is now in the same boat. So we just got to get on and make the most of it and make a positive out of a pretty negative situation.
Yeah. Now, what are you, I don't know. I guess my question would be, because I appreciate, like, you even talked about, like, depressing to start with and then just kind of being able to move forward with it.
Yeah.
What do you do to help with mindset and the emotions, and, like, how do you actually, like, deal with it in a way, I don't know, especially for those that may not be, A, I guess, if they haven't gone through struggle before, but then even just B, because, I mean, no one's really gone through this, so, like, this is a whole new situation in general. Like, what do you do to actually just kind of stay level on it? You know what I mean? I mean, now, granted,
yeah.
I should say you seem like a very level-headed person to begin with. So maybe you just, for you, you're like, it just comes naturally. But I don't know. Is there anything you do in particular?
I think this one's a bit different. I mean, I think we all have our own different stresses in everyday life.
Yeah.
And kind of, but the big thing with the coronavirus is everyone is affected. Now, everyone's obviously affected in different ways, and it's going to have lots of knock-on and different consequences for people. But we are all in the same boat, and it's all a bit crap for everybody.
Yeah.
But we will get through this, and I think, as the government keeps saying, we're going to get through this, and we kind of it's a big team effort to get through it.
Yeah.
But I do think on the other side of this, everyone, it's almost kind of take this opportunity as a bit of a reset.
Yeah.
It's quite weird for me, because especially when you're running a business and a relatively small business, you kind of got blinkers on and you're very much in the moment, thinking you're the most important, busiest person in the world. But kind of coming back from that and having a look at the world's still going, and I'm not doing very much at home sort of thing. And actually, everything's good. I mean, there's obviously some stuff that we all need to sort out, but actually I think that making the most of this time and just having a reset and really thinking about what's important and how we can kind of make the most of this situation for the future.
Yeah, good. All right. Well, thanks for calling in, man. And make sure to tell hello to Charlie and Ali and Adam and everybody else in the team.
I will.
I've seen guys around, but I know we'll work again with you soon. So thanks for calling in.
Yeah, take care.
Yeah. All right, and then next, last but surely not least, I can't say he's my favorite because I enjoy all these people that we've been talking to, but the next person we're talking to, his name is Scott Ragsdale. Scott and I have been friends for I don't know how long, but it feels like forever, and Scott, you're still wearing the Cardinals hat. It's like we're not even friends. Now I can't even say we've been friends for a long time. I knew I should have. I was going to have a Cubs hat under the desk and switch hats if you were still wearing it.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me brag on you a bit. So when I met Scott, he was front house engineer for Willow Creek Church up in Chicago. I grew up in the Chicago area and knew of the church. I didn't know Scott. But as you can tell from his hat, he's obviously not from Chicago, because he would never have survived with a hat like that in Chicago. And so then while I was at the church I was at in the U.S., Scott left Willow Creek. And then he started to tour with Joe Bonamassa as his front of house engineer. And then while Scott was touring with Joe, I left the church that I was at. And Scott, I would brag about, is he was essentially one of my biggest lifelines during that season, in that he just would constantly text me and call me and say, hey, I've been here. I know what you're going through. Like, just checking in, making sure you're doing okay. And he's kind of pretty much one of the main stability things that I had in that season that kind of helped me through a crazy time. And then while I've been here, then he stopped touring with Joe Bonamassa. And so then I was able to return the favor back to him of just constantly just texting and checking in with him. And then finally, hold on a second. I have a sign that says we've crashed. Are you saying we're not on the stream anymore? Okay, we're good. So then anyway, I was able to kind of then be there for Scott, check in on him while he was going on. So I did feel like, essentially, I wanted to just kind of, I don't know, we have obviously been in a cycle of encouraging one another, check in with you, because I know that another backstory is you were about to go on staff at a church and then all of this started to go on. So that kind of just potentially kind of changed a potential job opportunity that you did have. So A, how have you been going through all of this? But then B, I don't know, some of the encouragement that you've given to me through the times and through the years of our friendship.
Yeah, that's a lot right there. Sad thing is I don't see you anymore like we did yesterday when we tested this.
Oh, okay.
The video is kind of frozen. So I will just go off kind of like we're doing a podcast. It's just been one of those times where I really have been trying to listen to God and do exactly what I've been telling me to do. And I've been fortunate to have sold my home in Chicago before this event happened. I moved back home to my family, to my parents, now help them in this season of the COVID-19. It's been bizarre because, you know, it seems like I kept getting forward motion and getting possibility of a new job, and things just kept hiccuping, like, hey, here we go. And, you know, hey, well, we're going to do a revaluation of the church staff, and we'll get back to you. And at the time I was fine with that because my home hadn't sold, and I was doing freelance work for some buddies that do corporate shows. Another friend of mine, I did a women's conference in Baltimore. So I was staying busy, and it kept me going. And then 2020 hit, and we're full speed ahead in our conversation. The day before the COVID thing hit, in the sense of, you know, we need you to go to 100 people only in a room, we were again starting conversations, and so everything got put on pause again. And so I just feel that, you know, I've got to stay in a place of faith, and I am in a good place. It's great being with family. And I think this is just a season to really lean in to your faith.
Yeah.
And, you know, because if you watch too much of the news, it's just chaotic. And, you know, God's not the author of chaos. And he talks about this peace that transcends all understanding. And so that is what's kept me.
Yeah.
And because I've got a personality that can get pretty over into panic and unbelief, and like the sky is falling. So I feel like I've not gone this season and have felt that my prayer life and my spiritual life has been very connected. And just like you said, I think reaching out to other friends in this business, whether it's in the church world, the touring world, just comrades that do production, has really helped not only me, them. And I've noticed that most people, you know, we're still in a good place. We have all lost work. It's like we're all in this together. Nobody's working. And so there's a shared concern. And I feel like there's a real team. We're in this together.
Yeah.
In a lot of the Zoom calls I've been in. And I've really loved that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm really thankful for technology right now, because we're all not kind of kept in the dark of, I wonder what, you know, this guy's doing or that girl's doing.
Yeah.
So.
No, I like that.
I hope I answered your question.
That was great. Because the thing that does make me think of is, because, I mean, anybody that's worked with me knows that I kind of consider the teams that we work with and what we do as essentially like, I mean, family. And we all have families, but just with the hours we do, the stress load that we carry, it is one of those things where you do just kind of bond together. So I guess that would be, even to me, I guess the biggest strength we could have in this season is just like we would band together to do a large event or a church service or anything along those lines. This is one of those things where, yeah, just we can still band together, even if it is, you know, digitally and however it needs to be. But there's nothing wrong with picking up the phone and calling people and just actually just checking in on the human level of kind of how they're doing and where they're at. How have you actually found the season of being, because I mean, you've been home for a while now.
Yes.
It's not just your parents, because I think you've talked about a niece and different things. How have you made the most from coming off tour to then just that, you know, you talked about the opportunity of just, you know, being able to sell your home at the most opportune time. But just, yeah, how have you made the most of this season of leaving tour and then looking for, you know, whatever your next thing was? And then even now, because obviously time with family, but then what else have you done to kind of make the most of it?
Well, you triggered something when you said home. I have been on some phone calls with guys that, you know, when you tour, you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And statements like, I think I'm starting to understand what it really means to be a parent.
Mm.
And, you know, we're playing catch in the backyard.
Yeah.
we're playing a wiffle ball game. I'm teaching my son to throw a football.
Yeah.
I'm hanging out with my daughter. I think people that I've talked to are doing it right.
Yeah. Like
they have circled back to some of the basics that really, to me, are probably the most important thing that we should be about. And this has caused the world, our worlds to be on pause.
Yeah.
So it shifted the focus to marriage, to family, to simpler things, because you can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So what can we do at home? And so I was a gymnast back in the day, and my niece got a trampoline for Christmas. So I have been teaching her all kinds of stuff.
Oh, that's fun.
I shot some YouTube or some videos I took to some friends of mine, and they're like, "Holy cow!" And I said, "Yeah, that's just a part of my life I haven't talked about, because it's when I was in my teens and 20s. And,
yeah.
I coached gymnastics. I was a gymnast, platform diver, springboard diver. Just a part of my story. And so I'm home now. And my niece is into gymnastics. I'm like, let's go, and she's excelling.
She's blowing
my mind. And, and my other niece is into, different things, just life and whatever she's interested in. And I would not be doing any of that had this not happened. And I think somebody said this to me, and I'm really taking it to heart. We need to notice the things that we're not missing and keep them not missing. We're too cluttered right now.
Yeah.
And this is kind of decluttering our lives. And so I think that's the best way I could wrap that question up.
Yeah, good. All right. So I just realized, I think I know what your answer is going to be. And if it is, it wasn't intentional, but tech question, preferred desk, what's the tools of the trade you like working with?
Oh my goodness, I'm going to steal Brad's answer about the one they're paying me to use.
well, because I'm Bonamassa, I saw you using the SD10. And then obviously at Willow, you were on a PM1D.
PM1D.
So, but what if you could, so of all of the desks you could use, what would be the one you would pick?
Man, I'm on the SSL right now too. That's a tough one. I've never really argued what gear is in front of me. I just figured it out and make it work. I probably understand the Digico the best right now because I was on it for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
I will say though, the SSL is an extremely good sounding desk. They seem to have fixed the bugs.
Yeah.
There's some built-in plugins that have really blown my mind.
Okay.
And so, Digico, I'm going to say, because I'm very comfortable walking up to that desk and doing my thing.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, very good. Thanks for joining us tonight for Team Night. Hope you enjoyed the conversations. We are going to try to put it out as a podcast as well for anybody that may have missed it. And look forward to being able to see you again in person. Sayonara. Bye-bye.